LBC News.
And the time now, 8.13, David Harper with you this evening. So, do you remember the Millennium Bug that night when we were told the world's computers were going to all melt down? Well, in a form, it looks like something has struck again. Microsoft says it's working around the clock to fix what's been dubbed by some people as Y2K22, which has caused an email glitch to some systems. I'm joined on the line now by Fevzi Turkalp, the editor of GadgetDetective.com. And I hope this isn't too complicated a question, but I'm going to ask you to try and explain to me what this is in a form in which somebody who didn't do very well in GCSE computing can understand.
Right, OK. So Microsoft produced a piece of software called Exchange Server. It's a piece of software that companies use to maintain their own email accounts. So rather than being done in the cloud, like, you know, Gmail and so forth, they do it themselves on their own servers. That piece of software has got a bug in it related to how dates are stored. The software has a antivirus, anti-malware function within it, which has to be updated regularly as new viruses and malware is discovered. So that's all normal and that's all fine. Inside the name of each of those updates is a date, and that date is stored in a certain number of bits of information, 32 bits of data, and that only allows dates up to a certain date to be stored, because as a number gets bigger, we need more digits. So imagine in our normal way of counting, we can store the numbers up to 99 in two decimal digits, but when we get to 100, we need a third decimal place, we need a third digit, In the same way, they've not allowed enough digits, so when we hit 2022, immediately it exceeded the date. It was too large for the number of bits allowed, and therefore it crashed. And when it crashed, it means that all the incoming emails were not being scanned and therefore were not being forwarded. So first of all, people not getting their emails from these company accounts. Secondly, the machine tries to store the emails until they can be scanned, and then if it runs out of storage space, then eventually the whole server crashes and all the other functions that it does crashes. So businesses could be knocked offline and go out of business.
To put it into very simple terms, somebody at some point in the past has designed the system and allocated an area of computer memory to store this number, thinking, oh, that'll be fine, that will never run out.
Yeah.
And then as we've clicked over into 2022, it suddenly reached the point where there isn't enough memory to store all this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is basically... I can understand the connection, because it's basically the same problem that was feared with the Millennium Bug. Does this sort of thing happen quite regularly, where somebody designs something and thinks, that'll be fine, all done now, working perfectly, and doesn't think, oh, crumbs, in 20 years' time, this might all go wrong?
Yeah, in fact, it happened last year at this time as well, because when the Millennium Bug hit, the Y2K bug, where we went from 1999 to 2000, the correct response to that would have been to increase the number of bits of information that you can store for the date, right? But what some companies did was a little patch. They said, okay, we've got a 100-year range, so we don't have to assume that, 00 is 1900. We could say anything up to something ending 20 is 2020. So when we went to 2021, it thought it was, it went back a century.
Have they learned nothing?
Well, it's just because, it was simpler to do it that way. And the assumption was, the underlying assumption with all these things is that code's not still going to be in use in 20 or 40 years' time or whatever window you've allowed. And it is. I mean, there's code written in the 60s that's still running on
computers. It's amazing, isn't it? I remember looking at a banking story not so long ago, and you think of it all being this nice Swish app on your phone with and everything, and what you look at on the cash machine. It's amazing how much of this stuff does go back so far. I mean, somebody who's probably retired years ago might have created the core of it.
And that's you've hit the nail on the head. That's the problem. The code, whilst performing well and doing an important essential function, becomes a black box because no one any longer really understands what's in it. None of the engineers that built it are still there. They may be in retirement. I mean, some of this code may have been written in the 1970s. So they just say, well, we'll leave it alone until we rewrite it. But that's a major endeavour.
I suspect neither of us are going to be here in the year 2100 looking at what might happen then. But, I mean, it's a serious question, though. When we get to maybe 2033 or 44 or whatever year creates a problem, are we going to see this happen again? Or is there a move within the IT industry saying, no, we need to write this stuff for the long term?
Well, these are private companies, right? So there's no law forcing them to write, forward-thinking code. And they'll make assumptions and they'll say, is it worth us spending this amount of money rewriting this when it's going to be scrapped in 10 years' time? So they make those decisions. And the problem is that code invariably goes longer than you anticipated, because it's not easy at the moment to, you know, produce code. It's expensive. It's still done by human beings.
And there we are. It all comes down to the bottom line at the end of it, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
Oh, well, Fevzi Turkup, thank you very much for explaining that to us, why the Millennium Bug may not have been quite as dead as we thought it was.